have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Book of Acts chapter 1. You know, if you ever get discouraged on your job or get discouraged in your family or discouraged in the call of God on your life, you need to remember a hero in the Bible. And I want to share about you this morning with him. His name is Matthias. And he's mentioned in the book of Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. And he's in this one passage in reference, and it's in reference to the prophecy who in the book of Psalms, one of the apostles would betray Jesus and have to be replaced. And this is kind of what was happening beginning in verse 12. It says, then they returned, in Acts chapter 1, verse 12, it says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying, and that is Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James. These are all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. And at this time Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren, a gathering of about 120 persons was there together, and said, brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled with which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was counted among us and received his portion in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the price of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle of all his bowels, gushed out, and became known to all who were living in Jerusalem, so in their own language that field is called Halkadama, which is the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his homestead be made desolate, and let no man dwell in it, and his office let another man take. It is necessary that of the men who have accompanied all of us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these should become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, show us which one of these two thou hast chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So they had been in the upper room, and about 7 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the disciples, there was about 120 of them, and around the seventh day, they said, you know, we've been kind of praying, and we need to fill this empty space, and there's one missing, and according to Scripture, we should put someone in the place of Judas. And Judas, you remember, after he hung himself after betraying the Lord, that's exactly what was taking place in the Scripture. And Judas, remember, happened what happened here, as we read. So they began to pray, and in verse 24, it said, Lord, you know the hearts of all men. You know who we need to choose. And I want you to know the qualifications that it took to be named, and I want you to see the word apostleship in verse 25. Now, this wasn't just a leader in the church, in the first church. This was apostleship. This was the same status as Simon Peter, James and John and Matthew, and all of the apostles, all 12 of them. And of course, Judas hung himself, and now someone is going to be elevated up to that position. And here's the qualifications for it. In verse 21. And it says, therefore it's necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all of the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken from us. One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And that was the qualifications. And only two men filled this criteria. Only two of them had been faithful for the call. It was by the man by the name of Justus, and the other was a man by the name of Matthias. And after prayer, and this is almost funny, but they cast lots. they roll the dice. It's kind of like some of you do when you buy a lottery ticket or go to the casino. It's like, in the name of Jesus, let me win. Reminds me of the story I heard about the man who was struck on the bus in a busy street. He's lying near death on the sidewalk there, and as the crowd's gathering around this man, the man's kind of struggling to breathe out. He said, "A priest, someone get me a priest." And the policeman checks the crowd and yells out, "Priest, is there a priest in the crowd?" And out of the crowd steps up this little Jewish man. He's about 80 years old, and he slowly walks up, and he says, "Mr. Policeman," he said, "I'm not a priest, but I am a man of faith," he said, "for 50 years now," he said, "I've lived behind the Catholic Church over on First Avenue." And he said, "Every night I've overheard a lot of their services, and I can recall a lot of it, and so I may be of some comfort to this man." And so the policeman agrees, and he clears the crowd away and where the injured man lay, and so the old man, he kind of kneels down over the injured man, and he says in a solemn voice, "Before I 19, N38, G54, O72. I guess you had to be there on Friday night to enjoy that one. So after praying in verse 26, Scripture says they cast lots. So in this passage, the disciples were saying, "God, we're picking a leader and we need you to lead us." And so in all sincerity, they cast lots. I don't know by what method they did it. I don't know if they drew sticks or flipped a coin. If you get the short stick or short stick, you or tails, that you're the loser. And if the guy with the long stick or heads, he wins. But basically, it was a natural contest. They used something, and many believe it was dice or similar to that effect. And one of them chose a number, and whoever won the round, they were part of the exclusive 12 for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the real qualification was that they had to be faithful. And they had to be there from the beginning to the end. And I'm talking this morning on forever faithful. Because it didn't really matter what they were saying. It really doesn't matter about either one of the two, because one was just as good as the other one. Because both of them were faithful. So let's just roll the dice and see which one God wants to choose of the two. So they chose an apostle, and it fell on Matthias, and he was numbered among the 11 apostles as number 12. And it's the only place in Scripture where he's chosen as an apostle. And what was his qualification? Why did they choose him? Notice it wasn't about his preaching. It wasn't about who could sing the best. Didn't have anything to do with his leadership qualities. It was the simple fact that they were looking for an apostle. And this person had to be faithful through the ups and downs of Jesus' ministry. And it speaks of faithfulness. It speaks of the fact and points it out of just being there on the inside and the outside. And serving and doing behind the scenes with no recognition, nobody praising him, never coming up in the Scriptures anywhere else, neither one of these men. Last year, when I was going around to the various clubs in my Kiwanis division, going to Hera, McLeod, Edmond, Guthrie, Midwest City, I would attend various events and places and such. And here in the Nakoma Park in Choctaw area, whenever I would attend a funeral of one of the members or one of the church members or a ceremony or an awards event of a child or a teacher's award banquet or a community activity, I'd always see this man named Burness Campbell. He was always there. It just seems like I would always run into him at one of these events. He was always at these events just in the crowd. And after my year as lieutenant governor was up for our division, I gave him a legacy award for simply being there, just for representing. Not not representing the presence of Kiwanis for any bling he wore or anything like that, but just caring and being involved with the people around him and the people that he knew in his community. And many times, and young people, listen to this, the people in my life who I remember the most wasn't the loud and the proud people. It's the people that were always there to hand me cookies and Kool-Aid during nursery. Yes, that's right. I remember back that far. Church nursery. And during vacation Bible school, during Sunday school, these loving saints, they didn't have any profound leadership skills. They were just there doing what they knew best. Some are still alive today, still there, attending and serving in that same church, just 1 mile away from where I still live today. And just as Matthias and Justus were, they were always there also. And these two weren't doing it for any other reason other than serving in their place. And we don't know what they did, but they followed the disciples around. They hung around. They weren't talked about. They never performed any miracle. They never preached. They never sung. They may have built a campfire or something of that nature, but they never did anything that caused them to be recognized in man's eyes or qualifications, not based on any talent or not based on any skills or based on any education. And God's trying to tell us that when I'm choosing my last apostle, I'm not choosing it based on their knowledge or even any scripture quoting abilities to get up in front of people, but I'm choosing it based on the faithfulness and the loyalty. And I'm choosing it based on the fact that they've been there, whether they've been consistent and whether they've been faithful. And I'm saying to you that God has called you to do things that may seem small and insignificant to you. But I don't care how small and insignificant it may seem, because he'll not overlook your faithfulness, because he cares about you and he cares about what you do. Jesus said in Mark 9:41 that if you give a cup of water in my name, you'll not lose your reward at the judgment seat of Christ. You may not be able to rub shoulders with any big or fancy people maybe here on this earth, but all of that stuff, and all that stuff here may seem important, that you seem important here on earth, or that others do, but one day, one way, we'll all be equal. And you can be equal and be consistent with everybody else and the faithfulness that you do when we stand before God. Now, they may outdo me in other things here, but one thing that you can do when you get up there is they can't outdo me in faithfulness. Just like Matthias and Justus, they were there from the baptism to the resurrection. And I'm saying to you that if people never recognize you for what you do for the Lord, the real boss is upstairs. And he sees you and he knows what you do. Matthias had to be with them constantly. What does that mean? It means that Jesus, he was there with, from the time of Jesus, from his ins and his outs, the verse said. And you know there's times when Jesus feels like Jesus is in here. And it feels like a revival. And it feels like we get goosebumps all over. Especially when we sing praises. And it's a wonderful thing. It feels like God's here. And that's awesome. And people love that. But there's times when it feels like Jesus has left the building. And he said that those are there, and those were there that were there during the ins and the outs of Jesus. And Jesus says to be faithful to his word, whether you feel like it or not. And to stay faithful in prayer, and to stay faithful in your commitment to God and to his house. And just stay faithful. And you're there when Jesus is in, and you're there when Jesus is out, and you're there when through it all. And I know Jesus is always with us. But the tangible presence of God, sometimes you don't always feel. Sometimes you're going through a valley, and sometimes you're going through a dry spell, and sometimes you're going through the wilderness. But to stay faithful through the ins and the outs of Jesus, You just keep praising him, even when you don't feel like it. Even when you don't feel like it, you just lift your hands and praise. And other times, you do it because the Bible says to. You worship God. And I'm telling you, that is faithfulness. And that is loyalty. And he'll not let that go unrewarded. Sometimes there's too many greenhouse Christians. They bloom in a protected environment only. As long as there's no wind and there's no rain and they have no storm, they're always faithful to God. But when the elements hit and the storms hit and the rains come, you find them weak. And you find them in situations where they seem to want to lose their faithfulness to God because things just don't seem to be going perfect. But he's looking for people that'll stay with him through the ins and outs. Because the truth is that he's using those times to expand your faith and your trust. And he's using those times to teach you that you don't always have to feel God to know he's there with you. But that there's a settled confidence you can get in your spirit and soul and a peace there that he'll never leave me or forsake me. And I'm not afraid of the future, and I'm not afraid of tomorrow, and I'm not afraid of any bad report that anybody can give me, whether it be a doctor or any bad news come against me, because I always know that the Lord is with me. Because there's going to be times in your life that you feel that Jesus has exited the building. Where did he go? What's wrong with this church? Why are we having a big move of God? Why are people leaving the church? Why are my friends gone? Why am I the only one still here? But what I've found is, if I'm faithful through the ins and outs, he's always there to reward my faithfulness. You can get discouraged like that. And you could say, where's God? And you have to remember, if you're involved in nothing but just being faithful, you just can't quit. There's no quitting place. I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about in your walk with Christ as well. He'll have no pleasure if you draw back, because we're not those who draw back. We're not that kind of people. You've got to set your face like flint and put your hand to the plow and double up on your dedication and make up on your mind and get a mindset to say, I will not stop reaping the harvest. I'm going to give more of my life to the kingdom of God. Because one day the trumpet's going to sound and the Lord's coming back with his reward with him. Because I've watched a lot of you over time. And some of you have come in here struggling with some stuff going on in your life, but I've just watched you. And you keep coming back Sunday after Sunday. And then some of you come on Wednesday nights and then become more open and more trusting in your faith and your families and relationships. They may not be where you want them to be, but it's getting better, and you just keep coming and in and out and in and out. And I've noticed one thing, that you get strong. Your faith begins to get strong. And some begin to see the blessings of God, and others are still waiting eagerly, but they see it happening. They see change in their life. And God will do it for anybody here in the sanctuary. God will be faithful to him in giving, when you give your life to him. This wishy-washy stuff, this hit, skip, and miss stuff, that doesn't work in the kingdom. You've just disqualified yourself from high places that he would have taken you to. But it's never too late to start. He'll overlook someone who's a lot smarter than you and give it to someone else who's faithful. The highest calling in the New Testament church is apostleship. And all the guy did to get it was to say, I was there. I don't know about you, but it kind of gives hope for a lot of us that don't have a whole bunch of skills. I can look back on the past 23 years, and if I haven't done anything else, I've been here. I was there. Kisha and I, we've been here. Some of you have too. I look out, I see Donnie and Karen and Ed and Linda and Donna and Anna and Philip and Lori and Rex and Charlotte and Jan and Jim. And there's a lot of people who've just been here. I've been there. Praise God. And some of you have been doing ministry and have dedicated your lives to do a lot of it faithfully. Praise band comes up here faithfully, unpaid, volunteer every Sunday. Many have done it for years. And sometimes we let the devil put us down and tell us how sorry we are. But we need to remind him of one thing. That the devil couldn't even be faithful when he was in God's presence looking at him. And many of us have been faithful for years, and we've never seen God face to face. But one day we'll see him. One day we'll behold him. Revelation 22:4 says we'll see his face and his name will be upon us. And you've got to learn how to hang tough and know what you know without letting anybody get you sidetracked. 9 years ago, on April 16th, 2007, Lauren McCain was one of the students killed in Virginia Tech. A freshman from Shawnee, Oklahoma, she left a powerful statement about her faith on her personal website just before the shooting. The 20-year-old had written a statement. She said, "The purpose and love of my life is Jesus Christ. I don't have to argue any religion, any philosophy, or historical evidence because I know him." And it seems like when you know something and you're knower, inside your knower, you don't feel that you need to have to argue or defend because you're at peace inside. And that's what makes faithfulness achievable in going through the ups and the downs and the ins and outs. And you just say, "Devil, I don't care what anybody says. They're not running me off." That's what you have to do. You don't bail out. You don't bail out at the slightest problem. Proverbs 24:10 says, "If you're slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. You stay strong, especially in adversity or distress. You stay strong in the Word of God. You put on the whole armor of God." And that's why it's so important to read this book. Because when you read this book, even when you think that you don't need it, God will bring it out of you in the times that you do need it. And those words that you read tonight or tomorrow morning or whenever you do, they may mean nothing to you. You may read this and you think it's just another verse. But when you get up tomorrow morning and here comes the devil and his minions right at you, and the Holy Spirit will bring up that word and that you read last night or another previous time. And when the enemy and his minions come at you, and just like it says in Isaiah 59:19, "So they will fear the Lord from the west and the glory from the rising sun, and he will come out as a rushing wind, as a stream of wind that the Lord drives." And that's the power of just being faithful in spiritual things. And you know, faithfulness also gives us a glimpse of God's intimacy. I mean, we have Matthias in his greatest moment. Every sermon Jesus preached, every miracle Jesus performed, he was there. He was there. He was an eyewitness. And the great thing about that is, if somebody said, "Well, I believe that's kind of an exaggeration about those 10 lepers that got healed. I don't believe that really actually happened. And this thing that Jesus rose from the dead, I don't know. I mean, he went to heaven. I don't believe that really happened." Now watch Matthias. He's in the crowd that hears these people talking about that. And he kind of slips up his hand. And the only contribution he makes to the kingdom of God, he says this: "I was there. I saw it." Someone else may say later, "I doubt if Lazarus was really dead. I mean, he was wrapped up in those rags for 4 days. The guy must stink." And Jesus rose him from the dead. And he walks out of the tomb. And Matthias just happens to be in that gathering. And he just says, "Hey guys, I was there. I saw it." simple. A man with an experience is never at the mercy with a man with an argument. Because if you have an experience, if you saw it for yourself, they can argue until you're crazy and it's not real. But once you know, once you've experienced something and it's real because it happened to you, or you saw it with your own eyes, or you experienced that, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. That's why I like old people. There's something about those gray-haired saints. They've just been there. They can say sometimes things that'll astound us and get away with it. Kind of like the old barber who just been graciously saved at an old-fashioned revival, tent revival. And the next morning, he wanted to really share his new faith and witness to the lost. And so a customer comes in at the barber shop to get a shave, and he was just trying to muster up the right words to say. And finally, as he has the guy seated and getting ready for a shave, and has a razor poised over the man's throat ready to shave him, he says, "Are you prepared to meet God?" You know, those silver-haired saints, they could just say stuff like that. They don't go into panic mode, if you noticed. They don't fall to pieces. Something rises up in them that says, you know, "I've seen him take me through the valley of the shadow. I've seen him let the cabinet become almost empty before. I've seen the bank account go down to nothing before. But I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaking or a seed begging for bread, because God is faithful when we're faithful. And even when we're not faithful, he's faithful, because he can't deny himself," according to 2 Timothy 2:13. "I go to prepare a place for you," is what Jesus says. "For where I am, you may be also." I still believe in heaven. I believe the trumpet's going to sound. I believe that through the rapture or through death, there's another world beyond this one that we'll spend eternity in. And I'll never have to face God for my sins, because I've been covered from the womb to the tomb, and the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all unrighteousness. But I will face God at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ. According to Romans 14, 10 and 11, says that we will stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account. The Bema seat was an exalted area where Romans would bring up their champions, and they'd stand on a platform like the Olympics, and once there, they would be rewarded with either the silver, the bronze, or even gold medals. And the Bible is very clear about my salvation. It's settled. But my reward? I'm working for my reward, not my salvation. It's settled through Scripture. But it matters, because one day we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. And the light of God is going to all shine on us before heaven. And all of our works will be examined. And I want to tell you this morning that it matters if you're doing something for the kingdom of God, whether in this church or in your community or around you in your workplace. It matters. All of those other things that you think is important or hold on to this earth, that doesn't matter. Those earthly things that we cherish, doesn't matter. Because when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, only the things that you've done for him will matter. That's why it says to be a joyful giver. Because you're securing blessings in eternity. Not only just financially, but just in service also. The things that you do for your heart. Because he's gone to prepare a place for us. In the Bible, it said that there are foundations in this city called New Jerusalem for us. 12 foundations made of precious stones and jewels. He says this in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 14 through 19. The names of the 12 apostles are on those jewels. They're engraved on the 12 foundations. So that means there's a foundation of Peter, foundation of John, foundation of Matthew. It goes on and on. And number 12 of one of those foundations has a fellow by the name of Matthias on it. And just because he was there, ever faithful, And if you're like me, when I get to heaven, I want to go to that foundation stone and see his engraved name. Because I don't preach like Peter, and I don't work miracles like Paul, and I certainly don't write books like Matthew, but I can sure identify with this man, Matthias. Because I was there. I was faithful, and God's rewarded me for my faithfulness for all eternity. And just like many of you here today, who have been faithful, who keep coming and coming and doing each Sunday, each Wednesday, each time, each every day of your life that you do, something keeps drawing you in your faith. To be forever faithful. And that's what matters. And this morning as the worship team comes to prepare as we close in praise, I'd like us to prepare our hearts in an attitude of faithfulness. To thank him in a moment as we just want to honor him all over this room and for anything in the kingdom. Some of you, maybe you are still pondering faithfulness in your life. And just to thank him that he has a place for you, for your reward. And as we bow our heads and close our eyes, I just want to think about your life and what it's meant through the years. And ask the Holy Spirit, and please do this, just don't let this become a tradition where you close your eyes and wait for the closing prayer or for praise to be done, because it's important to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Because every week, God speaks to us through his word, not just to teach us the principles of the word, but to apply it in our lives. And faithfulness in God is important to us. And for some of you, God has been working in this area of your life for quite some time now. And it's important for you to follow through with this prompting. He's choosing you. He's choosing you, and he's been choosing you. And you know it. And you felt it. And are you going to follow? Or will he have to move on to choose someone else to do greater things through? And by the Holy Spirit, through his love and through his power and through his calling and healing and encouragement. Maybe you need to ask Jesus finally into your life. Maybe you've just acknowledged God and acknowledged Christ, but you've never truly opened up your heart and asked him fully to come in and surrendered your life fully to him and to forgive him of your sins. Maybe you've just said it in your head and not in your heart. Or maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you did it when you're young, but you didn't quite understand it. And maybe you need today to fully understand baptism and all of its aspects and to be immersed and come up a new person in Christ. Maybe now God's pulling at your heart and to follow through with him with your commitment and to enter a deeper level of faith with him, a faith walk, a higher calling in your life to surrender more of your life over to him. Or maybe God's just simply calling you to be part of a family now, a church family, to stop being a nomad, to stop wandering, to settle down, to plant your stakes, and to begin serving. Our counselors will be up here to the side for you if you'd like prayer or anointing this morning as the Spirit speaks to your heart. But being forever faithful has always begun with an action of the heart. And so this morning, as we stand to sing, you come as the Spirit leads.
Your love, O God, is laid for us as crimson cover. Your majesty for all to see in raging storms and quiet, cloudless days. Beautiful. for Jesus. Beautiful Savior, nothing is greater, brilliant Creator, friend of mine. Nothing is greater, brilliant Creator, friend of mine.
Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of those this morning, the blessed saints that have dedicated their lives to serving you through the ins and outs, the ones that have planted their feet in the ministry to share their love, commitment to those who are seeking you, for the countless hours they've given, for the things they've given up because of the great love that you surpass and have shared upon us, your Son Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the great gift you've given us. Father, help us to stand strong even further through the adversity that comes against us as the winds blow stronger around our society. To be forever faithful to you in our faith. Help us to stand stronger, to shine brighter in a dark world. Because, Father, you are the true light. You are the true love. Help us to show those around us the gentleness, the love, and the meekness that you have to offer to your kingdom. We love you and we praise your holy name. The church said, amen. God bless you all.